Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get ready for skincare. I got a serum right now.
I'm creaming this.
My makeup is so damn cute.
I'm creaming this.
I gotta cream up my neck.
I'm creaming this.
I wanna keep my fringe fresh.
I'm creaming this.
Show me the SPF.
I'm creaming this.
Show me the way you cream.
I'm creaming this.
Fuck it, it's such a blur.
Lipstick's bold in the summer. Place your jar in mine. I'll cream when I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Natch Butte. Welcome to Natch Butte, the beauty podcast, where we discuss what makes you beautiful. Sort of like that One Direction song. And it makes you beautiful. Like that, but really personal. Welcome to Natchview. I am your guide. I am your guru. I am your host, Jackie J, the beauty talk shock jock, your queen of creams, the host with the most serums, your freshest fringe on the West Coast, your favorite 30 niche influencer, your kooky southern aunt. Welcome to Natchview. My guest today is not in America, believe it or not. My guest is in our neighboring country, Canada, which I've never been to, but I will come visit. Don't you worry, I will come visit. I know there are a lot of Canadian honeys listening. My guest today is the Queen of Lashes. And I know that is quite a title, but she really is. She is a lash expert, a lash enthusiast, so much so that she founded her own company, her own beauty company, All About Lashes, sweetie. Have you ever heard of Allure Beauty, honey? Yes, they have iconic products. We'll talk about them, but they also did a new exciting launch, which we're going to talk about, because her company vowed to transition from mink lashes to fully vegan lashes in 2021, and guess what it is, honey? I'm looking at my watch. It's 2021. We have so much to discuss and celebrate. Please welcome Mabel Lee to Natchview. Hello, Mabel.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. That was very impressive, that intro.
I'm so happy you liked it. I just wanted to open with... Mabel used to be on my child's name list.
I hated my name growing up. That's so funny that you said that.
That's
but now I
is.
Love it. I yeah. love it now because it's quite unique. But growing up, I used to be like made fun of so much. Maple Leaf or maybe it's Maybelline and I hated it. But
well,
now, you know.
And you could have totally ran with that, you know, with the lashes and the beauty. Maybe
know,
it's Mabel like, Lee. That's so cute.
I was destined for it, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah. The only reason it's off is because I want double initials. And I used to be married to somebody with an M last name.
Oh, God.
But he's not invited anymore, sweetie. Okay? He's not welcome here.
We've moved on past that.
Yes. So I had to revamp my whole list. But we're not here to talk about my divorce. We're here to talk to Mabel. My first question for every guest on Natchview is, what type of skin do you have?
I would say I have combination skin. Growing up, I had actually a lot of acne. And so through that, I think I still have some combination skin. So definitely oily around my T-zone and then dry around the outer edges.
Well, from what I can see, the acne's gone.
Oh, yeah. It took us some while. And it's a lot of birth control pills. But thankfully, I'm off that. And, you know, as I go into my 30s now, the adult acne has gone away. So I'm very grateful for that.
That's right, honey. She tackled it head on.
Yeah.
Mabel, do you remember the first beauty product that you ever bought or used?
I was thinking about this, and I have to say, so, like, I'll tell you a little bit more about the Velour story, but growing up, my biggest insecurity were my small Asian eyes. And I've always wanted to find ways to enlarge them, and back then, you know, before getting into false lashes, I think my first beauty product that I ever bought was eyeliner. So I was that girl growing up where I had literally the 1-inch thick eyeliner.
Oh, yeah.
Just to really make my eyes appear larger. So I think that was my go-to, my first beauty product ever.
Yeah, you were like, I'm going to line these eyes as much as I can.
Yep, that was me. That was definitely me growing up.
That was a look.
Oh, yeah. It was the look. It was the go-to look. But now looking back, it was like, oh, my God, it was horrific. But it was a look back
then. Yeah, nobody warned us. I'm these kids today, they really don't know how good they have it with Instagram and YouTube. We didn't have anyone to help us.
You're so right. No. Nor do we have cameras like in our faces to really show
how
us
bad we look.
How bad we look.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that was kind of a good thing, though. I'm sure like that feeds into a ton of insecurities, having a mirror in front of you.
Oh, yeah,
all the time.
Of course. It was preferred the way we did it for sure.
Exactly.
Mabel, do you have a favorite thing about yourself?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, I think I'm still working on it, but I think one thing I've learned to focus on over the years, especially being an entrepreneur, that now I'm quite proud of is being able to balance who I am as an individual, whether that's being a mom to my dog, Big Al, or a wife to my husband, or an entrepreneur. Those require very different hats. And I think I am very proud to get to where I am today, because I would say I am that entrepreneur or that boss lady that has figured out how to balance all aspects of my life. But to be honest, you know, the first few years, it was all about Velour, and I lost myself in a way. All I was and what defined me was just my business. And I hated that. As much as I love my business, like, I didn't want to just be that. And I didn't want people to know me just for Velour. And there's so much sides of me that, you know, are also special outside of Velour. And so I think taking the time now in my 30s to really find that balance and own those different, you know, aspects of me is probably the proudest thing for myself right now.
What a fab answer. And I'm so happy to hear that, because I think women, we have such a hard time like taking our own time for us and what we want, because we feel like we're always serving, whether it's job, whether it's our dog, whether it's everything. So that's powerful.
We are like master multitaskers. Yes. I feel like women don't get enough credit for that. But for us, it's like we want to there's this pressure of being like this boss lady, right? And I grew up thinking like that too. And it's like, oh, I gotta be a boss. I gotta like, you know, buy my own independence. And that was all I focused on, almost to the point where I lost everything else, you know, like I wasn't focusing on the feminine side of me or the emotional or the soft side. And so now being able to tap into all aspects, I think is quite a big achievement for me.
It sure is.
Because it was hard.
Fab answer. I really want to talk about your dog, but well, I'm going to save it to the end, because everybody wants to talk lashes with you, obviously.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll talk about Velour and how you were 21 years old and you decided to make this company. But first, I want to know, do you remember, Mabel, your first pair of eyelashes? Take us back to the day, because I'm imagining it was sort of an aha moment, considering this career you've built around it. How old were you? Take us back to that moment.
I would say it was probably when I was old enough to go clubbing and partying. So let's say, okay, I'll admit I was underage.
I was about to say, what's the club scene in Canada? I have no clue.
I think it's 18, but I think I started partying at 16. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're going to a club or you're going to parties, you want to dress up. And so I had a friend that lived out in Japan back then, and she sent me for Christmas or something a pair of Japanese lashes. And that was my first time and my first pair of false lashes. And oh my God, I wish I saved those, but I wore those for a year and they were disgusting. Like, you saw the crust build up on these pair of false lashes, but there was nothing available in America that was similar to it. And so I think that was my first pair. And my girlfriends would tell you, like, it was disgusting, but it was like the only pair I had access to. And what made that pair really unique was really the texture and how it felt on the eyes versus what we had available in the marketplace in America, which was drugstore, it was synthetic, and it was just uncomfortable. And so that was the pair that I remember, and I wore it to the point where I really had to say, I got to make my own.
There's literally like a bird living in it.
Literally, it looked like that. It was just gross. And for me, I didn't care, because again, my biggest insecurity growing up were my small Asian eyes. And so I didn't care what it looked like. I just knew that lashes was my go-to. And now looking back, I would never wear a pair of lashes for a year, but you know, it was all that I had.
I mean, I thought that story would be fun, but that was the best story of, you know, you clubbing underage with lashes while twigs and berries were sticking out of them. And all your friends going, God, we need to get Mabel another pair of eyelashes. Yeah. Like, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, it's perfect.
I know. I'm not painting myself in a good light.
No,
right now,
I love it. But it proves that you were like, this is something that I need in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That was the start of really the obsession, I would
yes.
say.
Yes. I told yeah. everybody you're a lash expert and you're living up to it. So you started Velour at 21, I read.
Yeah.
So kind of tell us how that happened, like the origin story of the brand and like what made you take such a leap at such a young age.
I don't want to take full credit of me sounding like a complete risk taker. For me, Velour started really as like a hobby and a obsession. So, you know, like I said, I wore those Japanese lashes for a year straight and it got to the point where I had to throw them away. And so it was, what was next? I had a false lash addiction. There wasn't anything in America that really I thought would cater to my needs. And at that point, when I was 21, there wasn't a luxury lash space. That never existed back then. And that was 10 years ago. And so for me, it was me and my best friend. We were like, let's just make our own lashes to go clubbing.
Wow.
It was literally that innocent. It was that, it wasn't a business at all.
So you weren't like, I'm going to be a lash mogul. You were just like, I want to look good at the club.
Absolutely not a lash mogul. Exactly. It was really for selfish necessity. And so for me, my dream growing up was actually to be a corporate lawyer. And so I have no makeup artist background. What I did know was the love for false lashes. And that was like what I knew. And I knew what I wanted in a luxury lash. I knew what worked for me. And so really it was two girls in the kitchen, literally on the weekends coming together. And, you know, the light bulb moment kind of went off was, oh my God, if I could make false lashes out of my real hair, that would do it. That would do it for me. And that would be an amazing lash. And so we started sourcing different materials. And you know, after sourcing, we came across human hair, horse hair, fox hair, and then we landed at mink hair. And so 10 years ago, mink lashes wasn't a thing. It wasn't even a concept, to be honest. And so for us, when we sourced the mink hair, we were like, oh my God, this literally mimics your natural lashes. And so let's make false lashes out of them. And that gave you a super lightweight wear. It was so comfortable. And then we launched literally with a friend making the packaging, a friend made the website. And it was really a site just to sell to friends and family. Like I could have never imagined then where Velour would be today because that wasn't the plan. The plan was really make lashes that we loved that we could use to go party in. And then it kind of took off through social media. We were at the right place at the right time. You know, like 10 years ago, there was no concept of influencers or gurus. It was really just social media wasn't a thing yet. And so we got in really at a perfect time because social media was just about to take off. We had this marketing engine that was essentially free.
Right.
And so we were really, you know, it was a product that we created for us.
And y'all loved it. So other people started loving it. And it went and grew and grew. And so I feel like so many celebrities have worn your eyelashes. Do you remember the first celebrity or like person of note that you were like, oh my God, those are my lashes?
Okay, so I love telling the story. So like, again, when I started Velour, it was really a side hustle. I was ready to go to law school. I did my LSATs, but I was broke. I really needed to make money. And so Velour was really kind of like a side hustle for me to try to make up as much to pay off my tuition, my school debt. And so on the weekends, I would travel to do trade shows. Have you ever been to IMATS?
Yes, I have. I got made into a creature at IMATS a couple of years ago.
Okay, so now I don't think it's a thing anymore, obviously, with the pandemic happening. But back then, oh my God, it was the place to go if you were a makeup artist or if you were like a special effects artist. It was the place to go for industry experts. And so for me on the weekends, if I had time, I would literally travel to do these IMATS trade shows. And I would set up my own booth and I would pitch and sell the brand to the world. And so my first ever trade show was in IMATS, New York. And so, you know, I fly in, I set up my booth, super proud of it. And there's these trays of my lashes laid out. This lady comes by and she looks and she's like, wow, these are beautiful. I'll buy 10 pairs. And Jackie, back then we priced a pair of lashes for $50. So
wow.
Yeah, it was like we entered the market, shocking the market because of its
yeah.
price.
But it's
point.
Also an investment because you can reuse, right?
Exactly. You can reuse them. They're all handmade. So there is a point. It justifies the price. But back then it was $50 a pair. This lady comes, buys 10 pairs, So I made $500 on the
spot. And she didn't even blink. She was just like, here's my card.
She didn't even blink. She did not even blink. Okay. And I'm like, I made it in life. I just made $500. Like, this concept is proven. So I charge her. She goes on. The booth beside me literally nudges me in disgust. And she's like, how dare you? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, how dare you charge Pat McGrath? And I'm like, who's, again, I don't have a makeup artist background, so I don't know who's who. I'm 21. I'm ready to be a lawyer. And I'm like, who's Pat McGrath? And so at that moment in time, I would say that was probably our first celebrity in that sense where it was truly a testament to how amazing the product was.
My mouth is still open. My mouth has been open since you said Pat McGrath. That is wild.
Yeah. So I really didn't even know who Pat McGrath was. And so I charged her. She obviously was willing to pay full price for them. And she was just the kindest, most boss lady ever. And so, yeah, that was kind of our first ever experience with, I guess, a celebrity makeup artist. And then through industry experts like her, we were able to have a ton of celebrities mention our products. And so with that, you know, social media blew up for us, Twitter, Instagram. And yeah, that's kind of how we grew. It was really through these small trade shows that we did. And experts really taking notice of what we were doing.
And that speaks volumes because they've seen it all. So, yeah. I mean, if Pat McGrath, that's the thing. Pat McGrath, she is another woman of color owned business. Like, she knows the struggle. She's like, I want to support another woman trying to get her money.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to pay full price.
And I was willing to charge her. And that was where, it was pretty awesome. Yeah, but she's like an expert, right? Like, if anyone's going to buy, like, recommend your product, you would trust her.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm, she's seen it all, like you said.
Wow, so you just hustled at the trade shows. I hustled. I know you're not in America. This is the American dream.
No, I hustled, and that's one thing I will give credit there. Like, you know, we were at the right place at the right time, but I don't think Velour would have been where it is today if the hard work wasn't there. There was so much hard work. I was working a full-time job in finance to pay off my tuition, and on the weekends I would push Velour. And so, yes, it was a hustle. It was not an overnight success by any means. And it took a long time.
What a journey.
Yeah.
So, okay, Velour just launched the vegan Velour lashes.
Yes.
And you had so much success with the original mink. What made you want to enter the vegan space?
So, you know, Velour's 10 years old now. And in full transparency, from day one when we launched, we've always had a group of consumers or a group of people that did have an issue with it being mink and being an animal product, which I understand. Although we've educated people and we've tried to respond and educate as much as possible that all our products are cruelty-free. But with that said, you know, there's always this group that just wouldn't touch it. And so, you know, as Velour continued to grow, our ability to innovate was there. You know, 10 years ago, all that was available in terms of materials was mink. But, you know, now 10 years into it, I really do believe in innovation as a brand. And so for us, it was like, hey, you know, we got to listen to our consumers. It is where it's moving right now. And if Velour was the first brand to do mink, we should be the first brand to rethink mink. And so let's challenge ourselves. Let's invest the money. Let's invest the time to innovate in materials, to try to create a material that was truly synthetic, but mimicked what made mink lashes so amazing. So the lightness, the tapered effects of the tips of the hair. And so we embarked on that journey in 2018 and really started exploring. And so 10 years ago, all that was available was mink, but you know, the false lash industry has just exploded. And so for a brand like Velour, we should be one of the category leaders when it comes to innovation. And so, you know, we encouraged our manufacturers, we challenged our manufacturers to do better. And so for us, it was, let's keep up with the times, let's keep up with our customers who are asking for a vegan material and really deliver a product that mimics mink. So with that said, you know, 80% of our revenue comes from mink. So when we decided to take that pledge last year with PETA and to all our customers to say, hey, we are no longer doing mink as of 2021, that was a big business risk.
Oh, yeah. That'd be like if Coca-Cola was like, hey, we're not going to make Coke anymore.
That's exactly it. That was exactly it. And for us, it was like, man, if we're going to do that, you know, with this kind of risk, we better make darn sure that the material that we're launching next is going to really fool people to the point where they couldn't spot that difference between mink and vegan Lux. And so I feel so confident in the product that we sourced and we created. And, you know, we're here 2021, you know, we're putting our money where, you know, where we stated, and this is where we are today, and we're excited to go vegan. So we're officially pulled all our mink from our website, and we're officially a vegan brand now.
That is so cool and wild.
Yeah.
It's a wild move, but I back it. I'm sure my listeners back it. I think that's super exciting. And it's sort of like you heard people and you were like, yeah, you know what? Okay. I agree. You know, and made it happen. That's super cool. I want to touch one. I can't wait till my box comes.
Honestly, the easier route was really to just keep selling mink because we could have, right? And like there is such a diehard mink consumer. But for us, you know, I do believe right now the beauty industry needs that innovation. And there needs to be this refresh, whether that's going vegan or sustainable packaging. But, you know, I think it's time for brands to really step up. And hopefully Velour is taking their part in doing that.
Preach it, sister. Okay, I have always wanted to know. I know you had just said earlier that they were handmade. I want to know how are lashes made. Like, can you walk us through the process? Because for me, all I imagine is like getting hair, cutting it off, straightening it out, taping it on. I don't know. Just can you tell us? Because I'm so curious.
You're somewhat close. The process is quite extensive, actually. So I'll give you kind of like the dummy proof one concept.
Perfect.
So basically, imagine there's a blueprint of a lash. So assume this is the blueprint. I know people listening can't see it, but my hands are like literally a blueprint of the style. So each style has its own unique blueprint. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our manufacturers have a stack of mink hair, let's say, in their hands, and they use tweezers, and literally they pull out each piece of the mink hair in their hand and they place it onto the blueprint to create the style. Once, and this is a flat plane. So basically they place all these individuals' hair by hand onto this blueprint. Once they have that blueprint, they then put a cotton thread band to create the cotton band, the lash band that you know. Then we go into a curling process. So basically we wet the lashes and basically imagine a perm. So we roll the flat set of lashes and basically that's what creates the curl. And then it goes into a heating process, similar to what a perm is for your hair. Basically we curl it and so that's how you get it. And then there's a drying process and then a cutting process of cutting the lashes into the trays. But that's kind of like the short version of how our lashes are made. But there is a lot of people don't know that they are hand placed onto a blueprint.
I didn't know that. I thought it was a damn machine or something.
No, no, no. None of our products are machine made. There's actually no machinery in the process.
Wow.
At all. Yeah.
So it really, I imagine like a little factory, like everyone's sitting in their little line and they're just sewing or doing their stuff.
Literally, yeah, that is, it requires a lot of labor, for sure. And I think where Vegan Luxe, this new collection that we're launching, was tricky was that anytime you change up the fibers, the manufacturing process changes a bit. And so you have to retrain everybody to make sure they know how to use the new fiber. So that's why it took so long as well outside of sourcing the unique fiber.
Wow, I never knew that. These little minks, they didn't know they were going to have their hairs permed, you know?
Yeah, and just to speak on that point, when it comes to cruelty-free, I think it's also important to note there is no shaving, there is no killing of the minks. How we harvest our mink materials is actually through naturally shedded cycling seasons. And so minks have two shedding seasons, and that's basically spring and fall. And so through that shedding period, we basically harvest the shedded fur and we sterilize them and we reuse them. And so it really is, you know, we don't even touch the minks. And so, you know, that was what we really try to educate people on. But, you know, I understand if people don't want to touch anything that is made out of an animal product. And so hopefully with this major transition to vegan, you know, we really have been able to kind of convince people that we can create luxury lashes without any animal products.
Yeah, you actually answered my next question because I remember reading about mink stuff. And because again, you think of like, oh, I'm wearing a leather jacket. So obviously that animal was skinned for that. But minks aren't killed.
No.
They're not even brushed, right? They just shed the hairs and you collect them. I've always wanted to know, like, where are the minks? Are they, like, at a little mink farm? Like, are they all in, like, little stalls?
Yeah, they're in like a free range mink farm. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you meant like, I think a lot of people think we brush them, but minks are quite vicious.
That was my next question.
You don't brush them. Like we really don't brush them. And so, yeah, like it's actually through just naturally shedded fur, like a dog will shed.
I have here that I've read that minks are mean. Is that true? You're saying yes, it is.
I haven't encountered one. But that's what I know from our manufacturers.
You've never gone to see them?
No.
Wow, that's the first place I go. I go see what these damn minks are up to, you know?
No, I haven't.
I mean, I have read that they are mean. So the fact that you said they're vicious.
Yeah, we definitely don't, brush them.
Very interesting. I'm not going to be brushing any minks lately. Okay, Mabel, do you wear lashes every day?
Almost every day, yeah. I'm almost wearing them every day. You know, for most people, it's foundation or lipstick. For me, my go-to product out the door, I probably just need a lash, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think lashes is definitely my go-to beauty product. It just opens everything up. It makes you look so much more awake. It completes your makeup look. It's literally all you need.
Yeah, I agree with you. You make putting on lashes very easy, but I'll get to that in a second. First, I want to ask you, you've probably put lashes on hundreds of times in your life.
Yeah.
What is your process? Because there are women and there are honeys listening to this, my listeners, that can't get a lash on. You know, when I was in my sorority, I literally had a people out the door, a line. I would put on somebody's lashes. They'd move on, next person. I just have a gift. But some people can't get them on. So what is your personal technique? Do you use a tool? Do you have tips? How can you help us out with this?
So I know we'll discuss the Lash and Go eyeliner, but I created specifically that for making it easier. But if I didn't have Lash and Go eyeliner, right, let's say, and we just had lash adhesive, for me, I think one of the bigger tricks really is the lashes that you buy. So if you're going to buy a drugstore lash and it is going to be synthetic and super plastic, your band is going to be stiff. And that's going
to
make...
That's what always happens to me. A little edge will stick off.
Yep. So you're trying to get one side down while the other side pops up. And that's why I think a lot of people are scared of false lashes is because of those negative experiences with the drugstore quality products. And so Velour isn't like that. Like I mentioned, all of Velour's lash bands are made with a cotton thread. So you can already imagine a cotton thread versus a plastic band.
Right.
You know, those are very different flexibility in terms of laying it on your eyes. And so I think that in itself, really think through what lash you are using when it comes to your lash application, because that will make the biggest difference. Assuming you are wearing a pair of Velour lashes where the band is flexible, some tips that I would say is definitely when you take any pair of new lashes out of the box, just toggle the band, just to loosen the band. Even though our bands are super flexible and soft, I still tell customers, you know, just toggle it because it will make your lash application easier. Another one is I actually don't use tools. I just use my hands. If you have a steady hand, I think using your hands are fine. We also sell a tool that gives you more precise application and people love that tool. But for me, I can just use my hands. And I always put the mirror underneath me. So basically as if you're looking down, so you have a very clear point of view of your natural lash line. So you're just laying it right on top of your natural lash line.
What a good tip.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people just can't see it because they're closing their eyes. They're like, oh, where does it go? But if you're looking straight, you won't be able to see where it goes. And so I always say look down so that you're kind of, you're looking up towards your lash and you see that lash line. And the other, just so simple, another very, very simple trick is give your lash adhesive some time to get tacky. I think people get so nervous around just lash application. They're applying the glue and they're popping the lashes right on while the glue isn't yet tacky. And so whether you're using Velour's lash glue or any lash glue, just give it 20 seconds, 10 to 20 seconds for the glue to get tacky. That will make your lash application so much easier. I think that is also a big, big issue there. A lot of people just don't give it the time the glue needs.
Yeah, and then the glue ends up all over your damn face.
Yes.
And then you close your eye and then your eye glues shut. And then it's a nightmare.
Yeah, that's how you know your glue isn't tacky yet. If your glue was tacky, you know, it stays on the band and it really helps kind of like a sticky tack, you know?
Right.
Like you want to get it to that point where, you know, you can kind of lift it if you need to adjust. The glue is ready for you to do that. If it's too wet, it'll just be liquid and it'll get everywhere.
I'm going to need you to come over and help me with this at some point.
No, you won't need it now that you have Lash & Go.
Yeah,
now
you're
right. Now
that
you have Lash & Go eyeliner, it's so easy.
I mean, I have it. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what is your preferred method of removing lashes as a professional? Do we just yank them off? Do we coconut oil them? What do we do?
Okay, so we always say no oil on our lashes, mainly because of the adhesive that is used to band, to, I guess, mold the hairs with the band. So you don't want any oils. Oils will break down the lash. And so my tip is we just launched the Lash Clean Makeup Remover that's oil-free. And what I usually do, and you don't need to use velours, if you have an oil-free makeup remover, I dip a Q-tip into that oil-free makeup remover. And before I remove the false lash, I just run that Q-tip across the lash band to loosen the glue so that you're effectively not pulling as hard on your natural lashes. We always want to preserve, obviously, our natural lashes. And so I just take a Q-tip to really rub it across the false lash just to loosen the glue, and then I peel the false lashes off.
Simple yet effective.
Yeah, it's simple.
Because I'm one of those people that I feel like as soon as I get home, even before I get home, I'm in the damn Uber and I'm already taking off my lashes and I just rip them off, and I know I'm not good, but the next question I have for you is about sort of reusing the lashes, because I know velour specifically says, hey, you can wear these 25 times.
Yeah.
What is the proper way for us to be storing, reusing, washing our lashes to keep their longevity? Because I'm bad at this, very bad at this.
Yeah. Definitely don't take them off anywhere and just leave them. I'm guilty of that sometimes too when I'm too tired.
Oh, I find them everywhere. I'm like, oh, there's one on my blanket. Oh, there's one on the seat of my car. Like, they're just everywhere.
Yeah. No, my husband's freaked out a few times thinking it was a spider. So I hear you on that. For me, I would say, one, how you take care of the lashes really will stretch out the longevity of how many times you can use our false lashes. Our biggest thing is apply the false lash as your final step. Meaning, you know, if you want to wear mascara, you want to wear eyeshadow, do all that first. Wait for everything to dry. And then you pop your lashes truly as your final step. And that really will drag out the longevity of our false lashes. Another one that I think a lot of people don't really think about is overcleaning. Don't overclean the lashes. And so with our Lash Clean product, we actually say, you know, let the glue build up maybe 5 times. So wear 5 times so that the glue is actually thick enough for you to pick off.
Oh.
I find that, a lot of people, when we were speaking with our customers, they were cleaning girls really, really, really try to preserve our lashes. They try to clean them after every use, which is not necessary. There's not going to be enough glue for you to pick at anyways. And so we always say, you know, have a bit of a buildup before you start picking the glue off the lash band.
That is a real tip. I feel like I have gotten like nail scissors out and like tried to cut the glue off. And by doing that, I cut through the lash.
No, don't do
and
that.
And then lashes go
everywhere.
Yeah,
don't do that.
And then I get mad because I said these weren't cheap. And it's a whole thing. So that's really interesting. Five times let the glue build up.
Yeah, and there's so many reasons why we created Lash & Go Eyeliner. But one of them is this reason. You know, the lash glue, you know, it does affect the lash. As more you build up, you know, you're going to have to tug at it. It's going to affect the lash band. Whereas the Lash & Go eyeliner that we created is an eyeliner. So it actually has no glue buildup. And so if you use a Lash & Go eyeliner with the false lashes, the longevity of it is even longer because there's no glue piling up on the lash band. And so there's obviously many more reasons why we created Lash & Go, but that was one big feedback that we got from customers.
I don't know if you consider yourself a clairvoyant person, Mabel, but every time I'm about to ask you a question, you answer the question I'm about to ask. Because the next thing I was going to talk about was the Lash & Go. I'll just tell you my origin story with this. I was on TikTok this summer, and there's a TikToker named Michaela that I love, and I'm sure you know
her. We love her. She's like TikTok's darling.
Oh, I trust her with my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a lady in my 30s, and I look up to this little 22-year-old gal, and she says, I didn't even know that this was a thing.
Yeah.
Because somebody should have done this years ago, but I'm happy you're the one who did it, Mabel. Mm-hmm. But She says there's a product that is an eyeliner and lash adhesive hybrid. Mm-hmm. And she demos it, and she's like, this is great. And she doesn't lie. She doesn't, you know, bullshit anybody. I literally went online. Is that Big Al?
That's Big Al, sorry.
Oh, no. Big Al's welcome to always come on Attribute. Bernese Mountain Dog?
Yeah, he's a 110-pound Bernese Mountain Dog.
When I was a celebrity dog walker, I walked a very big Burmese Mountain Dog, and he took up my entire car.
Oh my God, yeah, he does. We had to buy a new car for him. We had to buy a house to fit him. He's a big boy, my gosh.
We can talk about him in a minute. Okay, so sorry. I went online and I found it. I did Sephora pickup. This was during the height of the pandemic. And I go to the Grove, and I have my mask on, and I go right up to the door at Sephora, and I'm like, I have to pick up my order. And the guy looks it up on the iPad. He goes, oh, the velour? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I bought that because of Makeup by Michaela. And
oh,
I
go, my God. Hi! That's awesome.
And we started laughing. This product is incredible.
Yeah.
It is absolutely incredible. I encourage all my honeys to get this product. Like, this is something everybody needs. This won an Allure Best of Beauty 2020. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell us how this happened. Yeah. I know this was a long labor of love of years of R&D and versions, but how did you come up with this?
This was definitely the hardest product to date that we have ever built or made, sorry. And it was really a labor of love, like you said. And so for Velour, maybe just to give you our mission, really, we want to be a leader in eye-centric cosmetics. And for me, I love the concept of making products and products that solve a problem. And, you know, I think there's a ton of things that the beauty industry can fix on. But one thing is I find that there are so much of the same things being launched in the beauty industry. And it's a cash grab,
right?
It's
so much saturation.
So much saturation. And for me, we really try to, if we're going to launch a product, it better be different and it better be innovative. And that excites me. And so when it comes to, you know, our mission to launch our first ever color cosmetic product, it was like, oh my God, what do we do? How can we really bring the two worlds together of false lashes that everyone knows us for and then being taken seriously as an innovative color brand? It was truly a labor of love. And it's funny that you say it. It's like so many people have said, oh my God, why haven't I thought of this concept? It's so simple, but it's like, why has no one done it yet?
Yeah.
And oh my God, I know why.
It's so damn hard to do.
It's so damn hard. Exactly. So Lash & Go took us 61 rounds and 2 years of development, meaning like,
wow.
This is before even concept. So like concept took a while, but the rounds of reiterations to get this formula down was so, so difficult. And so what makes it really unique is it's a lash adhesive when wet, eyeliner when dry. So when we formulated this, it was so critical for us for this product to be able to stand alone as a liquid eyeliner. So we really wanted even people that didn't wear false lashes that they would buy this liquid eyeliner and say it is the best liquid eyeliner. And that was the hardest thing to do because when you have this lash adhesive functionality to it, a glue-like, when it dries down, it's going to feel like glue.
Right.
For us, it was so important that when it dries down, it was a liquid eyeliner. And that was
hard. So even if you didn't do a lash, you could just use it for liner.
You would just use it as a liner, yes. And that was our goal. It was like we needed to really prove ourselves in both. It needed to hold a lash, which we know we could do. We know lash adhesive as well. But we also need it to be a really darn good eyeliner on its own. And so that was our biggest claim. It was literally like, it's not, you know, some people have also said, why don't I just use a black lash adhesive? Try that. You know, you can't get a line.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. It's going to be goopy. It's going to be sticky even when it dries down.
You can't do a wing and a lash glue?
Exactly. Exactly. And that was the hardest thing to balance from like a chemist standpoint because we couldn't get a strong lash adhesive hold without having like the eyeliner be too goopy. You know, and so it was finding that perfect balance was so incredibly difficult. But, you know, we believed in it. We believed that, you know, our consumers needed it. We believed that there was a big market out there of beginners that didn't know how to use lash adhesive and didn't know how to apply false lashes. And we really believed that, hey, let's make this claim. If you can do eyeliner, you can do lashes. And that was really what this product does. Draw on your eyeliner. You don't need any lash adhesive and you pop the false lashes right on. And I think that's what Michaela really was speaking to. It was really like, holy crap, it works. And it works as an eyeliner and it works as a lash adhesive and you get all day wear with the false lashes. And so, you know, we're so proud of it. And like you said, we won an award for it. And I think that really speaks to the ability for Velour as a brand to innovate.
I mean, listen, Michaela sold me, so I hope y'all sent her a box. and now my audience is going to hear this and go, oh, I need that. Like, yeah. It really is a must-have product for anybody who does lashes. Even if you don't do lashes every day, like, this is a Jackie J approved item for sure.
It's so much good. Faster, too. Like, for
so
me,
much faster.
You don't have to wait for the glue.
You know when you have to get that goopy glue and it gets all over your fucking hands? Yeah. None of that, sweetie. That's out.
Yep, it's so easy. And like, and the easiest thing is just remember lash adhesive when wet. So as long as the eyeliner is wet, you can pop your lashes right on, you're good to go. And like, you don't need for it to get tacky, like you said. You don't have to worry about how much glue to put on. And I think the best trick is, because you're drawing on that eyeliner, it almost acts as your guide and your stencil to place your false lashes, and it hides all your you know, imperfections with where you placed it. And so, like, the Lash & Go really has been such a game changer for our brand, because it's allowed us to really tap into new users, too, and really try to convince them to try false lashes, and it's not that intimidating.
Oh, exactly, because I feel like, I think lashes really make the look.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But most of the time, I'm like, I'm too tired. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with this. So it's literally not adding a step, because you're already doing your liner. And also, Velour makes really subtle lashes. That's what I like about Velour, because you hear fake lashes and I think of like drag queen, you know, but no, you don't have to put on a giant, you know, cockatiel lash. You can do a really subtle one.
I love that you said that. And I think when I started Velour, you know, the imagery, the branding, I felt that back then when it came to even the drugstore brands, all the lash brands out there was so not me. Like, it didn't speak to me, because I wasn't, like you said, that glam girl or that red carpet. Like, I'm not trying to wear lashes to go to a red carpet. I'm trying to wear lashes as my everyday lash. And I didn't want
it to look
crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to wear lashes at Trader Joe's.
Exactly. And so I was like, you know what? Let me, like, I think there is this void where there is that girl like me, you know, that does want to get, you know, put on makeup, but I don't want to look too overdone. And so I think I realized there was this void of a natural lash category. And so, like you said, I think Velour is really known for that. Our top lash collection to date is our Effortless collection, which is our most natural collection. I think that's where Velour really stands out as a brand as well, compared to all the other lash brands today.
I'm so excited to get my Velour lashes that y'all sent me, because I'm getting married. And I'm like, what if I wear them in my wedding?
You have to. They're such a wedding lash. Which ones did you? Oh, we have to talk after. Look, I have to.
Yeah,
make sure
I don't know
you
what
I
got. But I want something. I mean, honey, I want a look, okay?
Okay.
I'm going for sort of like a romantic.
Okay.
I'm getting married on Valentine's Day. So I want like a romantic look. I don't want them to be like Trixie Mattel, but I don't want it to be effortless either, honey.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the middle.
And we have the full range. We have effortless and then we have full glam. So don't get me wrong. We have dramatic lashes, but our most popular is definitely effortless. And so, I could definitely recommend like an in-between, because we get a lot of bridal customers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. Yeah. I can't wait. Okay, is there any, you've already really told us Velour is up to all this exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else coming up this year that you're excited about with the brand?
Yeah, I think we're going to continue. I can't share the full details, but we're going to continue to innovate in color cosmetics. So there's more coming from us outside of the eyeliner. We're excited for that. And then there's going to be a pretty exciting innovation in lashes. So that's launching towards the end of this year. So a lot of things.
It's so wild to me how long in advance things are planned in the beauty world, because we're always like these trends, but it's like, no, honey, these trends don't start overnight. Like it's years and years of work.
No. Yeah. Like we're like starting to finalize our 2022.
Yeah.
So it's like, it is at least a year, and we're behind. I feel like usually we try to get a year and a half ahead. But like, yeah, it's hard now with the beauty trend changing so quickly. I feel like brands need to really learn to react pretty quickly to trends. So that's definitely been a challenge.
But luckily, lashes are timeless.
Yes. Yeah. We're in a good place, and we're not in, you know, with the mask and everything, we're not in lipsticks or anything. So eyes are still pretty critical for the Zoom meetings.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes are eternal, I would say. Safely.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mabel, let's talk a little bit more about you. As an entrepreneur, a wife, a mom to Big Al, what are some of your favorite like self-care rituals? We talked about balancing your life. What are some things that you do every day that make you you, that really rejuvenate you as a person?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think fitness is the biggest one for me. Like I haven't yet been able to pick up meditation. My brain just like honestly just moves too fast. And when I try to sit down, it's so hard and it's just not for me, unfortunately, right now. But my form of meditation is working out. And so with the pandemic, you know, it's hard to go to the gym, but I got the Peloton. So I've been on that thing like every day religiously. But for me, it's really that getting that time to completely stop thinking about work, about all my other responsibilities and just focusing on working out. That was probably my biggest ritual and something that I need to do every day to be able to do what I do. And so I think fitness is really, really important.
You know what? I just got a Peloton.
Oh, I have to add you. We got to ride together.
Oh yeah. My username is Queen of Creams.
Okay.
Queen of that. Creams. Okay. Everybody follow me. And don't make fun of me if you look at my stats. I don't know. I just started and I'm telling you, I've been doing like the low impact, the beginner classes, and they're still really hard for me. He was like, get your cadence up to 90. I'm like, my fiance was like, I could hear you going, nope. Yeah. You're being like, nope, sorry, buddy. Not going to happen.
Oh my God.
It's hard. I'm excited though. I'm already getting better.
Yeah, no. One thing is like, I've gotten a few friends on Peloton and like you get better really quickly. But no, I hear you. The cadence is hard. The cadence is really hard to get up. Yeah.
My legs don't move that fast. I don't know what this guy's talking about. Yeah. And also, my butt is so sore.
You'll get used to that. You'll get used to that.
That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah, you'll get
used to that. Okay, my last Peloton question. How the hell do you click out? I left my shoes in the machine. I'm like, it is not working. And somebody on my Instagram said that they broke their foot trying to click out.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was
like,
I'm not in the mood for that.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to have a broken foot for your wedding. So you just twist out. You twist out. That's how I would explain it. Like you just twist
I know.
Out.
I've watched every video. It just wasn't working. It also took me literally an hour to get clipped in. So I think somebody says I can adjust the pedals, but it said on the thing, do not adjust the pedals.
Oh, really?
So I'm confused.
Oh man. Yeah. I can't help you there. I don't want to be responsible for
Please, yeah.
breaking your life.
The blood will be on your hands.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite instructor? I hear Cody is great.
Oh,
everyone
my God. I
freaking
love Cody Rigsby. He is so he's one instructor that I actually laugh in this room. Like I'm laughing really hard just because of who he is. He's so entertaining. I love Jess Sims. She's like,
taken her class.
Yeah. And then Robin's amazing. She's like, I think the lead instructor or something. But I like all of them actually. I just started Kendall Tool. She's cool. I like her.
Every person I've used so far, I love.
Yeah.
Every single one has been incredible in their own way. They're so inspiring. And it really is
true.
Right? Like, you think you're going to pass out, and they go, 15 more seconds. Give it all you got. And I'm like, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it, Jess.
It's
I got
so,
it for you.
It's so crazy that they like you said, they almost know when you plateau and when you, like,
I'm
give up.
You,
and they come in and they tell you something that, like.
They're so good at what they do.
So good.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Well. There you go. Everybody add me on Peloton. Queen of Creams. Everybody wants to do a rot like a Natch Butte ride. So
oh
I'm going to try to figure
we
out how to
do
it. I don't know
I'm
how
in.
Yet, but I'm going to figure it out.
I'm in.
And yeah, you join us.
Yeah, I'm in.
Mabel will be there.
I'm like,
and she
I'm
can
like,
help me click out.
I'm the annoying Peloton user that like I would look at your stats and I would be like, okay, how did I do compare? I'm so annoying like that with all my friends. Well, I'm like, oh, yeah.
But that is more motivation.
No, that's exactly
it. My fiance is super type A and like really competitive. Like he was an athlete, you know, in high school and stuff. And I'm like, when he starts using it, it's going to be a bad situation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because right now it'll be like, your ranking is 80,000 out of 80,500 people. And I'm like, you know what? I'm doing my
You're
best.
Good with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. He's going to like break records.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, Mabel. Do you have any other like beauty products or skincare products that are just like must-haves, you can't live without them?
I mean, skincare, I love seeing skincare. So as I've entered my 30s, I'm like all about skincare now. I feel like nothing looks the same if you don't have good skin, like when you apply makeup. And so, I mean, my staples for sure is like the SkinCeuticals CE for like that everybody uses. That's I've been using that for years. Retinol is
the hot dog water.
Oh my God. The hot dog water. That's so good.
It stinks like dirty hams.
But you know what? I'm fine with that if it's going to give me youthful looking skin. Right. And so I use that. There's retinol. I always use retinol. And then being as part of the Allure Beauty winner last year, Allure sent over a massive box to us of all the winners.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it was insane. It was jackpot. I gave it all to my team, but there was one that stood out to me. It was the Skin Medica TNS Advanced Serum. Have you heard of that?
No. I mean, I've heard of Skin Medica, but no.
So apparently, I think the technology is they use like stem cells or something or foreskin or something. And they break it down. They use it as a serum. Oh my God, that's completely changed my skin. And I don't know what it is, but it really is magic cream. It's crazy expensive, but I mean, I'm trying to get it out here in Canada. It's not in Canada yet, but that is like a go-to for me now.
It's like magic. I'm looking that up.
You have to look it up. Like, I can't even explain to you. And when I used it for that period of time, everyone in my life was like, what did you do? And people thought I was doing like Botox or filler. But I was like, no, this is actually the serum that did it. And I haven't had a product that did something this effective in such a short amount of time. It's insane. Yeah, it's so good.
Okay, I remember a few years ago, I was leaving like a med spa and they gave me these little packets of eye cream.
Yeah.
And I used it and I was like, this is amazing. And the next time I went back, I was like, hey, by the way, that eye cream you gave me was great. And they go, oh, it's the baby dicks. And I was like, what? And they go, yeah, it's like they use stem cells from circumcised baby wieners. And I was like, oh, I've been putting baby dicks on my face? And I felt very silly, but I'm interested. This is something I'm interested in.
I know. There's a lot. Apparently, so when I researched it, there's a ton of controversy around this product because it's that.
Right.
But I was like, yo, it works. And they figure something, a medical way to get it out in a good way.
The babies, listen, this is a bigger argument. Babies aren't giving consent, but it's the parents' choice. It's not like they're harvesting children and taking their foreskins off. They're gonna be gone anyway.
That exactly. And so why not use it for the greater good of our skin?
I had a company send me stuff one time that was a stem cell situation, and they used liposuctioned butt cells, or like it from volunteers who, once they were liposuctioned, they were like, by the way, check this box if you'll let us make a cream out of your, you know, butt or whatever. And they were like, sure. But I didn't like it. So maybe you got to go younger with it.
Yeah, I think you got to go with like the fresh skin. I can't believe we're even talking about this. This is awesome.
I'm going to look that up. That's a very, very interesting endorsement. Okay. Mabel, I know that there's a code. Tell us where we can buy Velour, Canadian and American people, I guess everywhere, where we can get Velour. I know that we did do a code for the honeys for your website. So just tell us where we can find everything.
So our website, our DTC website is velourbeauty.com. So you can get all our products there, especially the Vegan Luck collection that just launched. But we're also sold across Sephora and Ulta. So in all the stores in the Ulta, you can just drive up and also pick up there, as well as Sephora. So, you know, you can find Velour really on any of these three platforms.
So yes, we have a code. It is code NATCH, and it will give you 15% off the direct-to-consumer Velour Beauty website. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I feel like all the honeys are going to get this, and I think you should.
Yeah.
It's a life-changing product.
Yeah, I love it. And I really stand by it, and I'm so excited for people to try.
Mabel, you're doing the Lord's work. Thank you for being wonderful on Attribute, sharing your story with us. Tell me your favorite thing about your dog, Big Al.
Oh my, he's so human-like. So like,
does he sleep in bed with y'all?
He tries. Yeah, he does.
I was about to say, you're gonna have to get a big old bed.
I need like a California king, like literally.
It's like you have two husbands almost.
I know, my poor husband. Like this dog is literally my heart and my soul. And I'm sure you have a dog too, but it's this dog, like I'd do anything for him. But he's like a celebrity in Toronto right now. Like people know him because he's such a personality. And so I don't know. I think it's that. It's his ability to literally make so many people smile. He's a special boy. And I know every pet owner says that, but this guy can just, like, he has so many people that love him and want to see him. And I think that's quite unique for a dog. Like, people want to visit him and not me.
I mean, I would love to come see you and see all the lashes, but I really want to meet Big Al.
You have to come to Canada. You've never been to Canada. Canada's amazing. Just don't come in the wintertime. Just don't come in the winter.
Oh, yeah. Listen, when we're all vaccinated and everything, I'm coming up there.
Okay, I'll show you around. Toronto's a great city. It's so good. The food scene's amazing, and people just are so nice here.
I can't wait. I'll be there, and maybe I can bring my dog and...
Yes.
She could ride Big Al around the room because she is 6 pounds. And she has a cowboy hat, so we can make a whole moment out of
We'll make it happen.
I can't wait. Okay, well, Mabel, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for
being
here.
Yes, and I just want to say to the honeys, you deserve to be happy. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to feel beautiful because guess what? You are beautiful, sweetie. In case you didn't know. Mabel, I'll see you on Peloton.
Yes.
Everybody else, you deserve to be happy. I'm talking to you. Don't forget to cream that neck and keep your fringe fresh. Mabel, do you cream your neck?
I put serums on my neck. I don't, not cream.
We serum the neck. That's even better.